Goldenrod card on cardstock. This is Faith Promise Month, and every November we just want to thank God for what He has done. This is a time of harvest, and also a time for us to get ready to plant into the next year. You can see a list of a number of names there in various regions throughout the world. These are people that we have partnered, people or organizations we have been able to partner with in our Faith Promise giving. This goes beyond our general budget. But what on the back of that card, it gives an explanation of what Faith Promise is. It's a biblical principle. God will provide what He needs and what He's calling us to do to be obedient to his will. So God will provide whatever we need according to the riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. Some people, they pray with God, and God gives them a specific amount that this next year. This is not a pledge. But we do ask for these to be turned back in so that we have an idea of how to kind of look at next year's budget. The majority of the names on the front sheet of that card get $2,000 a year from Concordia Wesleyan Church through our Faith Promise giving. Some of those things like the tsunami relief and so forth were much more than that, and some of the church building that we did in Ecuador. But anyway, we want you to be praying, have a conversation with God. What would be, whether you budget that amount or whether you just say, as God gives me unexpected provision in this next year, I will see that as an answer to my faith promise, and I will give that with joy to the advancement of sharing God's love with everyone. We ask that you return these cards by November the 24th. You can tear it off on the perforated end. You can put it in the offering plate. You can put it in the box in the lobby. You can mail it to the office or hand it to one of the staff members, and we'll make sure that that gets added. We will announce what our Faith Promise commitments are at our Thanksgiving banquet. So this being Faith Promise Month, we're going to get to hear what God is doing in the lives of many people. Next week, Fred and Carol Cromer, who have been serving in the country of Uganda, we have partnered with them for many, many years, as long as I've been the pastor. And before then, you were partnering with Fred and Carol Cromer. They will give a field update and talk about what God is doing in their life. In two more weeks, Andy Baker from Remember the Children will be there talking about their ministry in Romania and Tanzania. And so that will be a great opportunity for you to hear how God is working around the world. Today, we get the unique privilege of hearing from our very own, we kind of claim them, Landon and Elena Lampkin. Now, one of the things I want to make sure that you do is that you visit their table out in the lobby. They have a prayer card. The first thing we want to do is we want to pray for this couple as God is moving upon their heart and life. Also, I want to encourage you as you pray, we anticipate we will be supporting them through our Faith Promise giving. And so as you give to Faith Promise, that will also, a portion of that will go to the Lampkins as they prepare to go to the country of Ethiopia. But I also, we don't set a goal for our Faith Promise. We just, God is going to work in your heart and life and tell you what number you're going to give to that. So we don't have an established goal, and God has worked beyond what our expectations are in the future. You heard last week, while we were in the middle of the Ignite Hope campaign, we actually had more coming into missions giving than what we had. One year we paid double. We gave every missionary on this list $4,000 because of what God was doing. And so we believe that we are a channel of God's blessing. But what I also want to let you know, if you feel the impulse in your heart and life to say, I want to get to know more about Landon and Elena's ministry, and I want to support them individually, you have the freedom to do that as well. Pray about Faith Promise, but if God is saying do more than that, talk with them. They'd love to have a conversation. I want you to know what they are doing, know what their needs are, what their struggles are. Enter that dialogue. You have a unique opportunity to be involved in this young family's life and what God is doing. So would you join me in welcoming Landon and Elena Lampkin as they come and share with us.
Good morning. As Pastor David just said, I'm Landon, and this is Elena. The other little boy up there is Micah. He is 4 months old, almost 5 months, and he's a chunk. He's a big boy. He's sitting back with Aunt Caroline and Grandma and the rest of aunts and uncles. So there's just a few things that we want to share about ourselves before we really hop into this. First of all, we are currently both teachers. We both teach in the Lakeside Schools over in Cocker City in Downs, Kansas. I teach K-12 vocal music every day, and Elena teaches K-5 title, kindergarten through fifth grade title, which is helping kids who are struggling with math and reading, helping them out. And then she also has the awesome opportunity to teach art this year, which has been just really, really awesome and fun. So we are just so thankful, first of all, to be a part of this church and being loved by a group of believers who are really working towards the mission of God of sharing the love of Christ with this area and the world. And we're just so incredibly blessed to be able to come here every Sunday and feel the love from this community. Looking at last Sunday, it was just such a great time, as it was already said, to gather, just to look at what God has done and then look at the future and see what God is going to continue to do and the new things that are going to happen in this area. We are so also grateful and blessed to be being sent by this church. I don't know if there'd be a better place to be sent by, in all honesty. We are just so thankful for that as well. So we're going to start just kind of talking about what led us to where we are now, and how we got there. And then, yeah, so here you go, Lena.
So growing up, I accepted Christ into my heart at a very young age, probably in preschool, somewhere around there. And my family, we helped out a lot at church. So I basically grew up in the church Wednesday, Sunday, and then at least once a week on a Saturday, taking out the trash with my dad. But there was our church had a library, and we grew up in the Nazarene church. So I guess what you need to understand, too, is that the Nazarene church in the 1990s had a huge focus on missions, and they had the library. And in the library, they had all of these books about different missionaries. I think some of them were even fictional, but there were stories about the testimonies and biographies of real missionaries who were serving and building God's church in the world. And there were even little fictional stories about, I guess, made-up missionaries and their experiences, too. But they really encouraged us to check those out and read them every day, or read them. And so almost every week I'd read a new missionary book, and I just loved them. I ate them up. I was so hungry to learn more about God, and about how we could serve him in missions. And I guess from a young age, my mom says, I would say I was going to be a missionary. And my plan was I was going to be a missionary in China, and I was just so sure this was going to happen. Well, this was my calling as a child. And my dad, we even had the opportunity. My dad had a roommate in college who went on to become a missionary in the Philippines. And we got to meet up with his family whenever they were in Kansas. And so I got the opportunity to really get to know another missionary family and see what their lives were like, too. And I thought that they were so cool. I just thought they were the coolest people. I love that they got to be a part of that and be a part of God's work in the world. So then I also, in junior high, like I said, the Nazarene Church had this big push for missions. So they had this retreat that we got to go on called Junior Missionary Retreat. And I got to go two times. And I got to basically pretend to be a missionary for a whole weekend. And I got to ride on the plane and learn about my country. And then we got to practice sharing the gospel and sharing God's love. And it was really just a good experience for me again. It kind of reminded me of that passion. So I really carried that with me through all of elementary school. Then when we got to, well, when I was in fifth grade, we moved here to Concordia, to this church. And that was kind of the beginning of a more lonely time in my life. I had a hard time making friends at first. And it took me a while to really feel like I belonged here. Not because of the church. You guys were all wonderful. But it was hard. And in that time, I remember my mom told me that maybe that time God was preparing me for a future where maybe I was somewhere where I might be lonely and I might not be able to rely on other people. And really, in that time, then, it really changed my mindset. And I really feel like I made my faith my own. And I learned to rely on God and just trust him to meet my needs instead of on others. So then in high school, I was still pretty sure that I was called to some sort of ministry. And I decided that I really liked education, the idea of education, and I liked the idea of ministry. So I was going to double major in history, education, and ministry, and kind of just see where I ended up. So I went to college as a freshman, both majors. And by the end of my freshman year, I had kind of come to the a place where I felt like God was calling me into ministry, or not ministry, into education, but that that could still be my ministry, and that being a teacher could still be my mission field. So I went into education with the mindset that every day that I'm in the schools, I get to be a missionary, and I will get to show God's love to my students, and I'll get to, maybe I won't be able to tell them about God, but I can at least be the tangible hands and feet of God in the schools every day. And that was my mindset for my freshman year. And I still had this plan in my head that, like, maybe my ultimate goal was that by the end of college, I would have met my husband like my parents did, and we'd be married. And I kind of figured, like, teaching would be my backup anyway. Like, I wouldn't really have to teach because I'd go where my husband went, and I would just get to be a mom and a wife. But then by my sophomore year, the end of my sophomore year, I had pretty much given up on that dream too. And I was like, you know, that's not going to happen. I mean, I haven't met the right guy yet. I'm a sophomore. I'm halfway done. It's too late. I'll just go ahead and maybe pursue missions instead again. Well, so I guess back before that too. As I got into the missions or the education program at my school, they even had these little flyers in the education office. And I remember I picked one up and got so excited because it talked all about how teachers, after you graduate and get your degree, whether it's elementary ed or English ed, you could take that degree and go be a teacher and a missionary in Asia. So my plan was, when I graduated and was single, I was going to go be a missionary in Asia by myself. And I was really sure that this was probably what God wanted me to do. I just felt this really strong calling towards that. But my plan was, if I did find a husband, I would just go where he went. And I figured we probably wouldn't be on the same page about that. So.
Okay, so I, she's an older woman by a year. And so Elena was starting her junior year. And I started at a state school and realized very quickly that I was trying to put my will on my life, and that wasn't working. That I had my plan figured out. I knew what I was going to do. And then, like, first, second week of, like, college, my freshman year, I was like, this isn't it. And so I had to really follow where God was leading in that time, and I really did not know where that was going to end up. So start of my sophomore year, I transferred to MNU, and within actual hours, like two, I am with my new roommates, and we go to some girl's room, and I meet Elena, and it's not like love at first sight, but like love after like 5 minutes, and I said, yep, that's it. End of story, here we are. But so very quickly we bonded over our love for kids and our love for working with kids and our love for ministering to kids as well. And that really just kind of bonded us from the beginning. I also went in as a double major, didn't work, as I went in as a ministry major and a music major, both a lot of work. But through that, I had the opportunity to work at a church in Kansas City where I was the children's and the youth director for a year. And through that time, we were able to kind of work together and see how working in ministry would work for both of us and the roles that we had and how we communicated with each other and how we worked with kids. And so that opportunity was just so formed us to work together in ministry. At that time, we had some kids whose parents were missionary kids. Their grandparents were missionaries in Africa, and they, the parents of our students, they lived at a boarding school in high school called Rift Valley Academy. And Rift Valley, the family went to Africa the summer that we were there. And they kind of just spent time going back to the school that they grew up at, going to different areas in Africa, and just kind of learning as a family and growing, kind of just just exploring and being with each other. So they came back and they were so excited to share. The kids were so excited to share with all the other kids about Africa and about all that they learned and the school that their parents went to. But that's not where I got excited about. The parents helped the kids present to the other students, and they had a Sunday where they in Sunday school where they just kind of shared, the kids did. But the parents talked about how formational those teachers were in their lives as they grew up, how much that they were at a boarding school, and that those teachers were not just their teachers, they were their parents a lot of the times, and they were the people who helped form their faith and help make them the people they are now, and work with them to grow and it forever change their lives to share the love of Christ with everybody. So after that year, we finished college and we moved to Topeka, and it was just a really bad situation. Things just were not good. We got out of there as soon as possible. And so we made our way back here to North Central Kansas, and we moved to Cocker City, where we both got our teaching jobs. And that was a really rough time for us, a time that we needed to rely on God for healing and for rest and just kind of a reset button. Kind of, we had this plan of education here, and then it's just not working out, and so we just needed a time to reset. And this church has done such great to allow us to do that here. We have been able to make relationships here at the church that have really filled us in Christ, and been able to rekindle our faith and our view of what God has planned for us because of the people of this church and this time. And we're so thankful for that. What'd you say? Oh, yes. In that time, we also started looking at schools around the world. We kind of felt that, okay, so here we are. Now we're going to move forward. And that summer, David did a series called All In, where that really just challenged me. That really kind of convicted me from the very, very beginning and just kind of set me back to this mission throughout the world. At the very first sermon of this series, David had this quote that said, "Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Set God-sized goals, pursue God-ordained passions, go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Keep asking questions, keep making mistakes, keep seeking God, stop pointing out problems and become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past and start creating the future. Stop playing it safe and start taking risks. Expand your horizons, accumulate experiences, enjoy the journey, find every excuse you can to celebrate everything you can. Live like today is the first day and the last day of your life. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Burn sinful bridges, blaze new trails. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. Take a flying leap of faith. Quit holding out, quit holding back, push all of your chips to the middle of the table. It's time to ante up all of your faith. It's time to go all in, it's time to go all out." So first, like 30 seconds of the sermon, I'm like uncomfortable, feeling that conviction of like, hey, I'm holding something back. We've started thinking about this again, and I'm holding this back because I'm comfortable. We got comfortable, which isn't necessarily bad, but we've prayed about this and we knew that God was leading us in this way, but we're comfortable where we are. Right, so this is, we didn't want to necessarily go out on that limb and to go all in. So we started again looking for schools and kind of feeling how that was going to work. I was finishing my master's and still am, and so we were kind of like, okay, well, we'll look and maybe in like a while. And so in June of this year we had Micah, and which was awesome, but that was kind of like, okay, now we'll take a pause. Our plan is to chill for about 5, 6, 7 years and wait until Micah's a little bit older, and then maybe we'll think about going and doing what we felt called to do exactly. But that wasn't God's plan, so, you know, here we are. And so we were contacted by one of the schools we had talked to the previous summer, and they said, hey, have you heard this missions organization, Teach Beyond? And no, we hadn't. And Teach Beyond, their big, it's an education mission organization where they reach the world through transformational education opportunities, meaning that they let Christ transform the students through education and through teachers who are sharing the love of Christ around the world. And we looked at that organization and said, hey, that's what we want to do. And that's what we feel like that's what we're supposed to do. And so we were able to say, hey, this is kind of another reset moment, and be able to see that God has made this opportunity and has shown us this opportunity for us to take this step, not in our time frame, but in his. And that was hard at first, especially when you look at our four-month-old baby now and say, we're going to move across the world. But that's where we feel like God has led us through everything that has happened thus far. And so we continued to look. We got accepted by Teach Beyond, and then we started to look for schools again, really seriously. And we looked at schools in Europe and Asia and South America and said, yeah, those would be great. Those would be good. But like any time an Africa school came up, I'm like, yeah, no, pass. Like, we'll just look at other ones. These other places have needs. These other places are doing the same thing. We can find one there. But that, again, wasn't God's plan. And so everything at one point just kind of seemed all up in the air. We didn't really know where we were going to go. We didn't really know what we were going to do. And we just kind of felt like, okay, God, what are we doing? And then we found Bingham Academy. And Bingham Academy is in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is, there's a map coming. Ethiopia is on the east side of Africa. And just it's just north of Kenya, south of Egypt and Eritrea. And so there's a lot of great stuff happening in Ethiopia. Right now, Addis in Ethiopia is a sending ground for a lot of missionaries to be able to go all over Eastern Africa and share Christ's love, and through church planting and being able to communicate and help those people of Eastern Africa. So Bingham, though, was really kind of, it was different than a lot of the schools, I would say. When we really felt like Bingham was where we needed to go. When we read their mission statement and their vision statement, which was teaching truth, equipping generations, and changing the world for God's glory. Through teaching here, we're so excited to be able to do all of those things. Next year, August of 2020, I will be teaching pre-K through 12 music, kind of like what I'm doing now, and being able to share Christ's love through the joy of music. Because music's such an emotional thing, but you can reach so many people through music too. And Bingham is really unique in that it has so many students from different nationalities as well, because a majority of the students, about half of the students, are missionary kids, and not just from North America. So we have kids that are from the United States and Canada, England, Australia, all over the place, who come to the school. And then there's a good number of national students there as well. And there's several international students from business people who are at the school as well. And so they estimate 30 nationalities go to the school or work at the school. And so with that, we are going to be able to teach these kids through throwing Christ's love and looking at music and different cultures and ways. So by teaching here, it's kind of like, why, right? And so we are able to partner with these missionaries who are currently in Ethiopia, who are planting these churches and sharing Christ's love and helping others. We are able, a big reason a lot of missionaries come back who are in third world countries is because their students do not have educational opportunities. They do not have a way to get their kids the education they need to be successful in university later. And so through Bingham and through other schools like Bingham, we have the opportunity to provide that for those missionary kids. and be able to enable those missionaries to keep doing God's work in those countries and keep changing the world for and sharing Christ's love while they know their kids are going to get a good education and be able to be successful. Elena, this first year, is going to really work on communication back here and work on ministry partner development, as well as just helping our family adjust to life in Ethiopia, because that's going to be a massive change for us, obviously. And so she's going to really focus on that for this first year, and after that we will evaluate and look at that. The city of Addis Ababa, where the school is located, is several million people. So moving from the city of Cocker City, which is like 100 and to a city of like a lot, is going to be very different for us. And so it's going to be very, very beneficial for Elena to be able to focus her time in on that this first year, at the very least. So kind of got a sneak peek. But there's a video that kind of just explains the purpose of Bingham a little bit more.
Bingham Academy's mission is clear. We provide a quality Christian education with a truly multicultural community, developing students of integrity who can change the world for God's glory.
Our primary desire and goal is to provide a high quality education. We want to equip students and train them with the best education possible. And we want them to be equipped, whether it's to go into the workplace or into the highest tiers of universities.
From kindergarten through grade 12, students at Bingham Academy are educated in maths, sciences, history, and language arts using the rigorous Cambridge curriculum.
It's very different than what our kids would be learning in the States, and so I love that difference. I love that it's something new and fresh and different and challenging for our kids.
The academics at Bingham definitely challenged me to be a better student, to think more critically and be a better writer.
Education isn't just about subject matter, but it's about the holistic development of students, or spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally. We want to really leverage our whole school and everything that we do for the purpose of preparing them with the skills, with the character that will help them be successful in the next stages of life.
Bingham is a multicultural community with more than 300 students from over 30 countries. So much more than a school, Bingham is a mission field.
One of the things I'm really passionate about is that Bingham Academy is more than just a school, that we really are a mission. Christ called us in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations. We see kids in the school, in the classrooms, for 40 plus hours a week on the athletic fields, on the performing arts stages, as our opportunity to live life and walk alongside these kids throughout their whole lives, and to really be able to speak into and influence and invest in them in every way.
The three big communities that are at Bingham, you have your missionary kids. The second would be the Ethiopian students here, that some of them are international, some of them have grown up in Ethiopia and they're going here as well. And then you have your international students from all over the world. Bingham is probably the first place I've seen so many people from so many different places representing and demonstrating what the body of Christ looks like the most.
We've seen our kids grow. Being able to interact with different cultures, different peer groups, we've been able to see them grow spiritually through chapel environments, but there was a spiritual emphasis week here at Bingham, which they have every year. And it was that week that our son, on the last night, was able to receive Christ. I mean, that's the biggest thing as a parent that we want our kids to do. Academics, that's great. Sports, that's great. But he has entered into the kingdom of God now,
And that's the biggest spiritual growth I've seen this year and that we can all hope for.
Bingham has like raised me as a Christian. I've seen what Christianity truly is. It helped me build a foundation of my Christianity.
Bingham teachers and staff need your help to make an eternal impact from their neighborhood in Addis Ababa to the ends of the earth.
Let me just say this. They are a missionary in themselves to come here to Bingham. I mean, think about it. In a classroom in any day, they could have 8-12 different nations sitting right there in their classroom. Not just teaching them, but being an influence, getting to be Christ to these students in the classroom and around the campus. There are teachers here who are passionate to disciple and be right beside students. I mean, that's missions right there.
Bingham Academy, more than a school, more than a mission. We are Bingham.
So that was kind of how we've gotten to this place. And just to add on to what Landon was saying, it's been really cool to see how God has been so faithful to really ignite that same call and passion that I've always had in Landon's life as well. But moving on now, I guess, more to how God's been working in our lives through this as well. So I've really enjoyed reading books by the Christian author Haley Morgan. And she has a new book from last year entitled Preach to Yourself, which is all about how the power of God's word over the lies that we tell ourselves. And she writes about how we can turn that head knowledge into heart knowledge and really begin to really know and not just know, but really believe what God says in his word. And so if I were to say that I'd never experienced fear as we have been preparing to go and move halfway across the world, I would be lying. It's been a journey of faith for us as we have been really learning to trust God and believe what he says in his word. And we're learning to take him at his word and believe his promises. But what I'm also saying is that we don't have it all figured out, and we have to preach to ourselves daily too. But we do want to share a little bit about what we've been learning. So as we prepared to speak this Sunday, we decided to share about faith and share a little bit what we've been learning about that. So we liked the Oxford Dictionary's definition of faith, which is complete trust in someone or something. So as Christians, our faith would be complete trust in God. And one of the verses that really stood out to us in the last several weeks was Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." And while this verse is usually used to talk about trust, we really felt like it showed what it looks like to have faith or complete trust in God. And as we've studied and meditated and prayed over this verse, we see parallels to our growing faith as we're learning to trust and surrender and now follow God. So it's embarrassing to admit, but I am a swimming lesson dropout. Made it through most of the years and then could never finish that last year. So as a child, I really struggled with anxiety and fear, and the worst part was swimming lessons. I hated swimming lessons. I hated going. I think it had to do with the lack of control. I hated putting my face in the water. I hated having to get in the water that I couldn't touch the ground in. I felt so unsafe and so scared. And the worst was having to dive off the diving board. I would climb that ladder and I would like tow my way down to the edge so I didn't fall off. And I would just kind of stand there. And sometimes I could like work up the courage to maybe wrap myself into a tiny little ball and just kind of plop in, minimize my impact. But other times I would just stand there and I mean, there was no way I was going to jump in. I'd look down and I just knew I couldn't do it. And so the lifeguards would have to offer to catch me. And even that wasn't always enough. I had to really believe that not only were they going to stay there and be there, but that when I went down, they would actually catch me. And so it takes a lot of faith to jump off of a diving board.
So right before we really committed to Bingham and going to Ethiopia, I had a conversation with a coworker at school about kind of where we were. And she talked about how Elaine and I had climbed all the steps of the diving board, had gone all the way to the edge, and were looking over and saying, are we really going to do this? Are we really going to jump in? Are we really going just to do it? Or can we just turn around and go back, climb back down, and just stay here where we were? We had applied. We had been accepted to a missions organization. We had applied and interviewed with the school. We were waiting to hear back from the school, and we were praying for peace and wisdom and processing the very real possibility that we might be moving to Ethiopia. We were excited, but there were also the fear of the unknown. We were looking down into the pool and wondering, are we really going to do this? We could still walk away. We're at a place of a decision, a diving board moment. Did we really trust that God was enough to, do we really trust God enough to follow him all the way across the world?
So like Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Faith is complete trust and security in God. When I say that I trust my earthly dad, I'm saying that I trust his character and his integrity. I know that he will keep his promises because I know him and I have a relationship with him. So in the same way, I can trust God because I know his and trust his character. Lamentations 3:21 through 23 says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When we call to mind God's character, we know that he's trustworthy. We know his love is steadfast and never ceases, that his mercies are new every morning, and his faithfulness is great. How could we not trust the God who has a love that never changes and mercy that never runs out? In order to trust God, we must actively dwell on these truths, though. We call them to mind, and we keep them before us at all times. It's not enough to just have the head knowledge of God's unwavering love and unfailing faithfulness and unending mercy. We have to actually believe and have that heart knowledge as well of his goodness. And we have to keep that before us every step of the way. This summer, I listened to an interview with Sadie Robertson where she talked about living fearlessly. With big, bold faith. And like me, Sadie has struggled with fear for most of her life. And she explained that fear is defined as the belief that something can harm you or the belief that it's a threat to you. So she realized that when she would allow herself to choose fear, not anxiety, anxiety is a natural response to the unknown that we have as humans, but when she allowed herself to choose to dwell on her fear, she was putting her belief in something instead and believing that it had power over her. And so instead she realized she had to choose faith instead. She had to choose to believe God's word and to believe that when he says that nothing can separate us from his love, that was true. She had to believe in his word and his promises. And that really had, I mean, this summer especially, that really changed the way that I view fear and faith. So God's word is full of promises. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Deuteronomy 31:8 promises, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. In Joshua 1:9, God asks, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Throughout scripture, we see that God is good, that he's with us wherever we go, that he made us, he loves us, and he knows us intimately, that he has a plan for every day of our lives, and that he'll meet all of our needs. These are promises that we really can hold on to and find our identity in. And I really believe that when we really truly know that, and not just head know it, but when we really put that in our hearts, it really can take the place of that fear. But it's hard. So not only can we trust God's character and promises, but we can also trust him because we've seen his faithfulness to us in the past. Through the good seasons and the difficult seasons, through loneliness, fear, anxiety, joy, and grief, he's been faithful to each of us. Hebrews 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He has been faithful to us in our past. We see story after story of his faithfulness to his people in the Bible. And we know that he's steadfast. We know he doesn't change. From the beginning to the end of time, he's God. He will never and has never changed. And if we know that he never changes and that his faithfulness, and we've seen his faithfulness through all time, then we know that he'll be faithful to us now and in the future and forever. So we can trust that he'll walk with us through everything. We know he's perfectly faithful and trustworthy. He's for us and with us and will always keep his promises.
So the next part of the verse says, do not depend on your own understanding. When life gets hard, our sinful tendency is towards self-sufficiency instead of trusting the God who promises to be with us every step of the way. We trust our own ability to navigate situations. We rely on our own abilities, knowledge, power, and wisdom, and plans. We research and prepare. We gather all the information because we believe if we can understand it, we can control it. We put our trust in ourselves. But I like how the Message paraphrase puts it. Don't try to figure it out on your own. We are told not only to trust the Lord with our whole heart, but also to surrender our self-sufficiency. This surrender is difficult. As humans, we love control. We believe that if we can devise the right plans and make the right decisions and moves, we can get through life on our own. But instead, God's word tells us to put trust in the Lord with our whole heart and depend on our own understanding, to surrender that self-sufficiency, to give up the desires of our heart and to control our lives. Surrendering is an expression of faith. Sometimes God's way doesn't make sense to us. We might feel like he's calling us to something crazy. We don't understand why we had a painful situation or something that we weren't expecting. But in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. His ways are higher and better than ours. His plans are for our good. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. These are promises we can hold on to. We can surrender our imperfect understanding and lean into him. We can release our plans and trust his good plan. We can let go of what we think we know and rely on what he perfectly knows. We can surrender control because we can trust a good God. We can trust in his goodness and know that he is faithful. We know that he will walk with us every step of the way. Trust in the Lord is assurance, confidence, and faith. And faith leads to action. Faith in God's goodness empowers us to surrender our lives to Christ, to seek his will, and to follow him. So the last part of that verse says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We know that with our head, he directs our path. We believe that he is good and trustworthy. But as humans, we still wish we knew everything and the whole plan. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't get to see the whole path or the big picture. But as we see God, he gives us the next step and then the next step through prayer and time with him. Our job isn't to know where we are going, but to obediently follow God's direction one step at a time. As the faith-filled poem by Minnie Paul goes, many a questioning, many a fear, many a doubt hath its quieting here. Moment by moment let down from heaven, time, opportunity, and guidance are given. Fear not tomorrow's child of the king. Trust them with Jesus. Do the next thing. All we can do as we follow God is the next right thing. Sometimes the next thing is clear. We don't have to wait for the divine revelation or sign to make every decision as we move forward. We can walk in faithful obedience, knowing that if we are doing the right thing in our jobs, in our homes, in our families. Other times we need that guidance as we decide on the right thing. Proverbs 3:6 promises that when we seek his will in all we do, he will show us which path to take. James 1:5 promises, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When we ask for wisdom, God gives us wisdom. When we ask for the next step, he reveals it to us. We can then take a step in faithful obedience. Charles Stanley explains that when we follow the Lord's guidance, he protects us from side roads and eliminates obstacles and confusions along the way. In basic terms, the straight path is the one of obedience. We may stumble along the way or need redirection, but God repeatedly brings us back to where we, when we have a heart to obey him. His path isn't always easy, but it's always the best. So we're not saying that everybody needs to go out and be missionaries by any means. We are saying is trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which paths that you need to take. Have big, bold faith. Trust God's character. Don't try to do it on your own. Seek God's will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. Do the next right thing. Thank you, guys.
We're going to have prayer with Landon and Elena before they go, but they're going to be in the lobby, and they have their prayer card. Certainly pick up their prayer card. They've got email addresses where you can kind of connect with them. But this isn't just about this couple's story, because you became part of their story by providing the environment for them to allow God to continue to unfold the next step in their life. And when they dedicated their son Micah, you stood it as a congregation and you committed that you would pray for them as parents and that you would pray for their son and whatever the future held. It would be our tendency to say, it's great that God is sending people to the mission field, but we'd like to keep them here, you know? But listen, there's two options that we have. We can say we're losing the lambkins or we're releasing them. And what we will do is we'll be part of the sending force, just like in Acts 13 when the church at Antioch had Saul and Barnabas there. And while God was doing mighty things in their midst, he says, set Saul and Barnabas apart for the ministry that I've called them to do. Listen, I'm encouraging you to, first of all, pray about your faith promise giving. I don't know any missionary that has ever been sent and done a work for God that hasn't first been grounded in the local church. If you are not giving locally in your general tithes and offerings, that's where you begin. You set your heart, you give God with no strings attached to this. Your passion may be missions, but you give first and foremost to your local church. This is where God is going to raise people up. People in the mission field need the local church to be supporting them and praying for them. We have missionaries that are coming in the next few weeks. All of them have been grounded in a local church first. If you care about missions, you give first to God. And then you pray that God, what God will give in the area of missions. And just trust God in that. And just like he has unfolded this in their life, he will unfold it in yours as well. Let's pray. Father God, what a blessing to see the path of obedience. Lord, there will be days ahead when fear will come knocking on the door. There will be times when undoubtedly, because we have seen others walk this path, that you wonder, how is this going to happen? And Lord, your grace is going to come in to Landon and Elena's life and prove very strong. Lord, over 4 years ago, you gave us a renewed vision as a church to ignite hope for families. And Elena's words when she said about Landon, that she thought it was so cool when God ignited in her husband the same passion for missions that she had. I know I didn't pray that God would send people to the mission field up through our church, but Lord, you did beyond whatever we could ask or think, and you did that as we walked in obedience to your call. So Lord, I pray that you would grant them favor. I pray that you would give them wisdom in raising their son. We pray for their extended family, for Steve and April and their family, and for Kelly and Jerry and their family. Lord, give them a peace that passeth all understanding. And Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to release them to the call of God so that every single day of their life, they would know that what they're doing is honoring Jesus Christ in their daily life. and sharing God's love with everyone. And pray for, Lord, we just give a blessing upon the meal and the students. May we be a blessing to them as well as we go and participate and send these kids to camp that will be transformational to them. In Christ's name, amen.